Okay, we're live. Here's the intro music. Hey everyone, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Steven. This is 60 Cycle Hum, the guitar buying, selling, trading, modding, fixing, breaking, reviewing, playing stuff podcast.
Yeah. We're joined this week by Dave Hill, comedian, musician, actor, artist, bike rider. Did I miss anything?
That's good.
Fighter of town. Yeah. Breakfast boy. Yeah. You're a breakfast guy, connoisseur of toast.
I haven't had any toast in a few days.
Uh-oh.
So I'm shooting a TV show, so I'm being a very tiny effort to eat a little more camera friendly foods.
Right.
Even though I'm drinking a beer right now.
Liquid toast. There you go.
Yeah.
Toasting the liquid toast. All right. We're going to start off with an ad because that's what we do. And then we're just going to hang out and chat and do our thing. This is some sort of crazy home done project sent to us by Pedro Charpentier. His email name was Pete Carpenter. So I think this is like his fancy Facebook name, Pedro Charpentier. This thing is wild looking. 250 pounds.
This is on Facebook Marketplace.
Is in Bristol, England. International appeal here. Look at this guitar. Beautifully hand finished and very unique. One of a kind classic vintage guitar with leather finish and dragon eye. New pots, new pickup, sounds gorgeous, completely refurbished to high standard. Very unique, as you can see. Got a couple there, full picture of it. It is very unique.
It seems crazy not to buy it.
Yeah, seriously, I don't want to lose money on it. 250 pounds. I mean, you have to buy a plane ticket to go buy it, but
he won't ship it to you?
Well, it's on Facebook Marketplace, so probably not.
Oh, I've never bought anything from there until tonight when I buy this guitar.
The thing that sketches me out with Facebook Marketplace is that it's Facebook and you're buying and selling with people who can go and look at pictures of like your Thanksgiving dinner, like your family and stuff like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't like that. I always try to, my family thinks I'm really weird when I'm like, please don't tag me. Like,
right.
You know, like taking a nap after dinner in the living room and things like that. Because, you know, strangers will masturbate to those photos later.
I think, you know, I worry more that they won't, you know. I'd rather.
Yeah, you know, it is like. What are you drinking there?
This is Templeton Rye. I just picked this up today. I haven't tried it yet. So we'll see. Ooh. If it's good stuff. It was priced to be the good stuff compared to what I usually buy. But yeah, I'm excited to try it. But this guitar is a new one for me. I've never seen this like zipper in leather reveal in a guitar before. We've seen a lot of bonkers stuff on this show. I want to know if you can close the zipper and do it as like a stage
thing. I hope so.
If you can't close the zipper, then this is like a wasted concept. Because I want to be able to like roll it out on stage and people will just be like, oh, it's like a leather coat guitar or like a leather couch guitar. It looks like a couch. And then you slowly unzip it in the middle of a song and people are like, oh my gosh, he's revealed the dragon that lives inside of the leather guitar.
I kind of just feel like this is a missed opportunity. It's the Eye of the Dragon guitar, but it's an 80s guitar. Why isn't it the Eye of the Tiger guitar?
Yeah, there should be a tiger in there.
Oh yeah.
And then there's there's so many selling opportunities. You can be like, this guitar is the cream of the fight.
Listen, it's in England though. They don't historically they have not had tigers there. Historically, it's dragon country. I watched that movie Ring of Fire, and there were dragons in England.
Was that in
England? Oh yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, yeah.
The night. Yeah.
Small.
I would bet that this is already sold, even in the time that we're talking about it.
Right now, live, like someone else bought it.
It has everything, you know.
Yeah, it's got leather. It's got couch studs. It has a dragon eye. It has a zipper. It's got, you know, it's kind of like, it's like sticky fingers for Dungeons and Dragon fans, you know?
Yeah, it's, I imagine a big piece of leather over the wood probably makes it sound, really makes that P90 sing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. For sure. That's tone leather.
I actually have seen, I have a friend who actually does, similar things to guitars, minus the lizard or dragon eye. She does cover them in leather, and I have seen zippers, and you can zip it, but then it's just picks, which anyone could see that coming. No one sees the
right.
What is it, a dragon or a lizard eye?
The ad says a dragon.
Oh, yeah, it's clearly a dragon eye.
Really a dragon, yeah.
They should have waited until, what is it, 1994 to make this, and then it'd be a dinosaur eye, and they would have been able to sell it.
Yeah, make it a Jurassic Park guitar.
They should just say, I mean, they in the time that we're talking, they could call it a Jurassic Park guitar and double the price.
Yeah.
They're like live editing the ad while watching this show.
Just slap a little JP3 decal on the headstock.
I feel like and the couch studs don't really work for Jurassic Park, though. You need...
It does. Don't... Come on. Don't hurt a sale here. You're going to hurt a sale by... it's only 250 pounds?
Yeah, only 250 pounds.
It's very light.
I feel like that's not enough. You should charge more. I feel like...
the dragon is living inside of it. The zoo's going to want a lot of...
Put a price tag on it that makes it sound like you're proud of what you've done.
Yeah.
You know, like that's like 250. What is 250 pounds? Is what, like 325 or something?
Yeah. Probably something like that.
That's basically like he's just trying to get this out. That's a get this out of my house price.
Yeah. You know that he spent way more money and time cost on this thing than 250 bucks. Like,
oh, yeah. He should just.
It doesn't look like the best guitar ever. Like the body's made out of some sort of plywood that looks like it was probably originally finished a different way and they stripped it. I don't recognize the headstock at all, but it looks pretty cheap.
I think it's like a Aria or something.
Well, there's a
Aria a Vantage guitar.
Yeah.
That was my first electric guitar was a Vantage, but it didn't have a dragon coming out of it.
That's too bad.
That could be, and the back doubles as like a sandwich board,
a charcuterie board.
Put some
dry meats and cheeses on there.
I kind of not to say take any shots at the dragon leather couch upholstery pin top. Which is pulling disparate influences and making them work really well in a way that it seems weird that there are guitars available out there that don't have that stuff.
Right. You'd think that this would be the standard.
Yeah. Yeah. The standard is a dragon coming out of a zipper. And then you're just like, well, how many pickups?
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I know about the dragon and the zipper. All guitars have it. But like, what about, you know, like what are the value of the pots in this thing? What's the output pickup? Like, we'll get to the dragon in a bit. Like, what kind of dragon are we talking about? Like, I've got dragon guitars. Well, I need to, you know, thin the herd, but we'll figure it out.
I just keep seeing this, trying to figure out what direction is this dragon facing?
Well, I think it's upside down.
Oh, yeah.
Because this way it looks like the eye is right side up. Like that's clearly the bottom lid and that's the top lid.
Is that clear?
Oh, I couldn't disagree more.
Oh, great. Here we go. It's a fight at the beginning of a podcast. To me, it looks like they got like a rubber Halloween mask and cut out a section of it because you can see like the ridge underneath.
Oh, yeah.
At first, I was impressed. Like, wow, they really went to town making this dragon eye. But no, I think they cut it off of something and stuck it under there.
Yeah, now I'm questioning my thinking about.
Yeah, 250 pounds.
It does, but I do feel like that price is sort of like whoever made this thinks that they may have ruined the guitar by doing it.
They're not.
It should just be confident. Just be like, this is $2,000.
You'll never find another one like it. It's a one-off.
Yeah. Premium Corinthian leather.
This is from the Dean Custom Shop.
Not Dean Guitars. My name is Dean. And
a guy named Dean.
Right, right.
Somewhere.
I think my biggest problem with it is that I really just don't like couch pins. Like, I don't like to have couches with those types of pins. You know, I like leather couches, but that, like, every time I've sat on a couch with those pins, like, my hand wraps around the edge and I just fiddle with them the whole time. I'm like, oh, this is annoying to me that I'm like tempted to do this. So if I had a guitar with couch pins all the way around the edge of it, I'd for sure be distracted by that way more than the Dragon Eye. Like, the Dragon Eye, you accept it. You know, you hang up the guitar in your room, you wake up in the morning, you look across the room and it's looking back at you and you're like, oh, good morning.
I think the real question is, how would you feel about this guitar if you saw it hanging up at the wall on the wall at your local guitar center?
Well, I definitely have to go take a closer look. Like, this is the sort of thing where if you have a shop, you hang it in the window because it's going to get feet in the door all day long. People want to come in to see. It's, you know, it's like Audrey too. It's the Venus flytrap in the window, and everyone comes in and buys flowers because of it.
Exactly. And then the salesperson at the guitar store sees you looking at it and says, can I help you with anything? And you say, no. No.
I'm just good. Bad. yeah. But yeah, if it didn't have the couch pins, like, I'm all for, like, the concept of like secret zipper dragon, especially if you could zip it and unzip it and just like give a little peek halfway through a set and be like, oh, look what's in here, and then zip it back up real quick.
I don't think you can zip it. I think it's always
open. Out.
Yeah, the reveal is
a Dennis Nedry impression.
Did I? I guess I did. Back to Jurassic Park. I'm just, you know, you put a Jurassic Park logo on there and yeah, it'll work. Or like a red pickup, red hardware. That would bring it back.
Oh, yeah.
Or this you just wear like a white linen suit and people will get it.
I feel like this should go for at least as much as the Gorky Park Kramer goes on for on Reverb.
Well,
whatever that's going for.
That goes for whatever money goes for, because people have heard that song on the radio. Like, this has to be attached to a song for it to be worth a bunch of money. Godzilla. It could be the guitar from the song Godzilla. Was that? What band
is it? Oyster Cult.
Oyster Cult. That's right. I love that riff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Buck Dharma, you charge $2,000 for that. Buck Dharma's guy, his guitar valet, is going to buy it, and then he'll be like, as long as I'm here, what else do you have?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we've murdered this thing. I don't think there's anything else that can be said about it. We've decided it's worth...
I have one more thought on it.
Lay it on me.
I feel like this guitar is like the luthier's version of those cooking shows where you have to make a meal or a dish out of super specific ingredients, and they were like, we'll give you a P90, a piece of leather, a dragon mask, and a bunch of couch cushions. Go.
Good luck. No, like, it started out with a guitar, a full-sized couch, and like a full-sized dragon costume, and they're like, yeah, good luck, and this is what came out.
Yeah.
I like that idea. That's a good idea for a show. Like, you should go and use like your entertainment connections and pitch that to
go sell the every. Oh my God, everyone would watch that show.
Exactly. Everyone wants to watch a guitar modifying show. It would be so much fun. It'd be like Orange Chapters. Only 10 people watch it.
If there's one thing I've learned a couple times now in my show business career, I've tried with some other people to sell like a guitar show because we're like, well, everyone loves a guitar show, even if they don't play or own any guitars. Everyone wants to see that. Network executives tend to disagree. Like you, because in your mind you go like, no, it's like all those car shows.
Right.
Everyone loves those. Guitar shows are just as enjoyable. Yeah. But they're not. You have to be into guitars, which I am.
You're preaching to the choir right now. We already know. Mm-hmm. But we actually we did some very light market research years back, and we did some Googling and found out that according to some sites on the internet, upwards of like 30% of American men have picked up a guitar, tried at guitar at some point in their life. And the number might even be higher for women. We didn't get those stats because Google was being sexist that day. Yeah, but I feel like that's a huge number. If it was like 1% of people in the US or the world that had picked up a guitar, that would be a huge number. But 30% is pretty incredible. I think more people know and care about guitar than we care to admit. Like everyone's like, if you went to college, you owned an acoustic guitar. It comes with the kit.
That's true.
Yeah, but then like then a lot, I think maybe a lot of people, like guys like us, you know, we're like, oh, we followed through. We learned how to play guitar.
We didn't quit. We're not quitters.
We didn't quit. We feel no shame. I go like, hey, I could be better. I could work harder and be better. But I don't hang my head in shame like a big percentage of those guys you described who are like, you know what? I didn't make it past the G chord.
Right, right. Most people, they hit Wonderwall and they're out. They're like, there's nowhere else to go from there. Yeah,
what do you do?
The brave few of us continue on and we learn Breakfast at Tiffany's. And that's really...
Oh, yeah.
When you learn Breakfast at Tiffany's, there's no going back. Now you're locked for life. And then this happens.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no, I'm seeing it. I'm just... Yeah, it's just like... The only thing missing is a guitar with a dragon coming out of it.
maybe that's what that statistic is, though. Is it's not 30% of Americans or American men. It's they sold enough guitars
it's really just like four guys who have bought thousands of guitars.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, you represent 22 of that 30%. Just in this room, they're like, oh yeah, Ryan bought, you know, 1% of all of the guitars produced. We'll call that 1% of the population.
Oh, you raise a good, yeah, there's so many.
I think there's,
I don't know, I would say probably like 30. Yeah, I think that feels about right with 30%. Because I remember when I started playing guitar in eighth grade, that was the year there was like a million guys in the grade started playing guitar. And then, you know, by like second semester, they kind of drop off, not playing anymore. And their lives are in the gutter now, really.
Exactly. If you didn't keep it up, like it's over. I think most people start in high school because I mean, my joke that I say every single time is when you're a teenager, you just got to find something to do with your hands, anything to do with your hands. And so I think that's when most people start. But like that window from high school to like college, I think that's where most people like try and then determine whether or not they're going to keep doing it. Like if you don't keep doing it in that range, then you're probably not going to make a life out of it, you know, and not turn into one of these messes back here.
I know. I'm just thinking about my mess of a life in a similar way of just of not too many guitars, but you know.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to. Steve and I were talking about all your content that we've been diving into, prepping to have you on the show. And we noticed that in every single video we've ever seen you in, different guitar every time. Like, yeah. I don't think I've seen anything where you have the same guitar twice. Like, how many do you keep them all, or do you rent them, or you buy them and you keep them and you just want to use a different one in every video? Like, what's your mentality there?
I don't know. I have a lot of, I probably have 20 something, I don't know, in there, but I've sold some, but I'm trying to think, like, anything you probably would have seen, I still have.
If it's good enough for a video, then it's good enough to be in the keep pile.
Well, I don't buy any guitar really that I don't think's gonna look cool. Like, if that's the last, I don't care like how well it plays, or it has to play and sound and all that, but you got to do the mirror test.
Right.
And you'd be like, do I look cool with this guitar? And if the answer is no, nothing's going to save it.
There's
I've got a lot of guitars to sell.
There's something in watching. I don't, you know, you did a bunch of appearances. I don't know what the context was with Chris Teeley.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's something just really amusing, because my background with Chris Teeley is just Nickel Creek and Punch Brothers. Mm-hmm. You up there with a Daphne Blue or whatever Flying V, with this, with, you know, a guy who's, you know, a mandolin virtuoso. Mm-hmm. This contrast there of like, yeah, we're gonna hear some metal riffs tonight. Here we go.
Well, that guitar. The first time I did that show three times. The first one, they're all on YouTube. The first one, I actually wasn't planning on playing the guitar. I didn't even bring one. And so when I'm playing the Telecaster, it's Chris's.
Oh, okay.
And then the other times were mine, but the one with the Flying V, I knew like for months that I was going to do that show, like then the Christmas show. And I was that guitar is from is a Dunnable guitar. And so I knew it was coming, and I was sort of like emailing Sasha, like hoping that he would get it done in time. Cause I was like, I want to play it on that show.
Oh, yeah.
It was a town hall in New York. And, I was like, that's going to be a classy looking guitar on stage. So that all worked out.
So you roll up the stage and the paint's still a little bit tacky.
Yeah, it was
tuning it up for the first time. Here we go. Yeah. That's awesome.
Those Dunnable builds are great too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, I want like every one of them in every color. Like he keeps posting them and I'm like, oh shit, I want that one. The only guitar I have a white, a Gretsch white Falcon. Mm-hmm. And it's a great guitar, but I just don't use it really. And but it looks so cool, and it's made to look, you know, When they made it, it was the guitar of the future in the 50s, and it was for NAMM. So I played that on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. I was like, you got to play the White Falcon, even though I knew I was compromising the sound I was going for. I was like, it's going to look cool.
Yeah.
Totally. I got to play it.
Oh, it just grabs your eye. I watched one of your videos where you were doing your stand up and then like playing riffs in between over like a loop, like you were playing like shreddy riffs over like a little loop that you did, and you were using the Falcon.
And it was yeah.
It was a video from like 9 years ago or something like that. So yeah. You might not even remember it. But no, it's like,
I think I know what it was. Yeah, it was actually right down the street. Because normally I like to have the band, and then I was like, oh, it would be cool to be able to do it. So sometimes I do it with a looping pedal, but I prefer the band. It's way more fun.
Sure. But yeah, those giant falcons they grab your eye no matter what. Like, and yeah, that's the mirror test, like you were saying. Like,
oh, you know,
they're not just instruments, they're stage props. They're the way that you grab people's eye when you're a performer.
Oh yeah, the reason I got that guitar was when I was a kid, I saw, you know, like a teenager, I saw The Cult play on the Love Tour. I was just a sweet little boy. And Billy Duffy had playing the White Falcon, like right in front of my face. And I was like, that's the fucking most badass guitar I've ever seen. And I was set. I was like, I'm getting that guitar one day. So that could, and then the other in Bow Wow Wow, I Want Candy video, the guitar player's playing, and I think it's actually the same exact guitar. I could be getting it wrong, but I think Billy Duffy's early White Falcon he bought from that guy whose name I can't remember, and I think he's since died. But so the White Falcon I have, you can edit all this out. I'm just rambling.
No, this is more interesting than
bonus content. This can't compete with the lizard, the dragon. That kind. But
hold on. Hear me out.
Here we go.
Gretsch White Falcon. But the front of the guitar is covered black leather. There's a zipper, and inside the zipper is the eye of a falcon.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow. Okay.
You know, turn that, it into
talk about Gretsch Custom Shop.
Yeah.
They can't wait.
It's big enough. It's a great big hollow guitar. You could put a little door, like a mesh door on the front of it, and actually turn it into like a bird cage and have a little falcon in there.
Inside the guitar.
And then at the end of a set, you open up the door and the falcon flies out over the audience.
And that's next level.
Yeah.
And it attacks a random audience member.
Right. And the falcon never comes out because it's traumatized by your set that you were doing. You're just blasting it with a twin reverb or something. It's like, I'm dead. I'm never coming out of this hole.
I know. Now I'm feeling bad for that falcon.
I feel bad for the falcon that we imagined. The imaginary
scenario
is going to call Animal Protective Services on us now.
But you could. There is room in that guitar for a falcon.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like a bird is, it's cruel to do it to a bird, but maybe like rodents or something like that. You got to find a guitar that you can be rodent themed, and you can put like some rats or some hamsters or something in there, and they'll be fine with it. They're more resilient than a bird. Birds are pretty twitchy.
Proco rat in a case that also has a rat in it.
Like a pedal board that's like a gerbil case.
Yeah, but all the pedals are Proco rats.
Right.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah. And you've got the plastic tubes that go out around the pedal board and over it, so you can see the critters running around in the middle of a show. It's a good plan, Steve. It's a good plan.
These are all solid ideas.
Welcome to 60 Cycle Hum. This is what we've been doing for 7 years. So you've got a podcast, and I've been having this moment. I discovered.
Hold on, are you changing topics right now?
I'm gonna talk about my appreciation for Dave for a minute. Do you need to interrupt that?
No, it just seemed before we made this transition, it seemed like a really good time to thank at least one of our sponsors.
Okay, okay.
Because I like getting paid. I don't know how you feel.
Likes money. Which one do you want to pick?
Oh yeah.
All right, we're gonna do Chase Bliss Audio. I'll grab the thing. You start talking.
All right. This episode is brought to you guys by Chase Bliss Audio. They make pedals more creative than you are with a digital brain and an analog heart. Ryan's got this guy, the Preamp Mark II.
Look at that.
Automatone. Collabo with Benson Amps.
Have you seen this, Dave?
You know, I have. I saw it. I believe I saw it in action at the last NAMM.
Oh, you were at NAMM. A Nashville NAMM.
I was at, no, I, the one, the NAMM in LA like a year
oh,
ago.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
It's the only NAMM I've ever been to. I would argue it's the only NAMM I will have ever been to.
Yeah, it's a little bit much.
No,
yeah,
it's good.
Thing, everybody, Preamp Mark II.
Yeah. It was cool. It doesn't have like flying feet. Like it moves around on its own.
Yeah. These are all robotic, and you can attach it to an expression pedal and manually have them like go in between presets and stuff like that. It's very impressive. And it's got wood it on the is. Sides, guys.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Really impressive. It's, so go check out Chase Bliss. They've been supporting the show for years. Go buy something from them just to thank them for supporting the content that you love. Chase Bliss Audio. Pedals more creative than you are. .com.
I already said that.
There you go. So yeah, NAMM is completely overwhelming, right? And a total disaster to be at.
Oh, I forget what someone described it as, but it's sort of like, this is a true thing, like in prison. They see women so rarely that they like freak out at the sight of literally any woman.
Right.
And I feel like that's basically someone explained to me that's what happens at NAMM because there's so few women that basically your standards change. They shift a little bit because you're just not used to seeing. An actual woman walk by outside of the Dean booth, of course.
Well, it used to be we started going to NAMM 7 years ago, something like that.
Yeah,
and I think we caught it at the tail end of when there was like a lot of booth girls around, and then over like a couple of years that faded out, and then Dean was the holdout until like 2 or 3 years ago, I think.
It's like Dean, and then there's a couple
coffin cases.
There are a couple brands that are really couched in either in like very kitschy niches. So there's like rock and roll wear apparel. All they
right,
sell
right.
is they basically if you want to, you know, if you want to dress like you're in any 80s hair metal band. Butt rock, arena rock, whatever. I don't know what it's called.
It used, but that's like a themed thing. It used to just be
it used to
every
be,
booth just had booth girls booth. At
now,
it.
Now it's only like the theme. So like you said, coffin cases, but all of like the coffin case girls are like, you know, the 40s goth.
Right. You know, it's themed.
They're wearing white powder and black eyeliner in a 1940s five-star general uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Very, yeah, anyway. Don't want to get in trouble.
No. I mean, I think it's, if you want to sell coffin cases, you better finish the job.
Right. If I was going to sell coffin cases, it'd just be all skeletons. You know, like, and like classic.
Yeah, you raise classic, a good point.
Universal horror monsters and stuff like that.
Or make it just like a crime scene.
Yeah, go dark with it. I mean, they can't do it this year, but they should have like a COVID sale or something like that. Is that too dark?
Yeah.
coffin cases should have a like a in NAMM scavenger hunt, but all you're doing is going around to like all of these other booths looking for like a toe bone.
Oh, like, you're looking for
it's a forensics hunt.
Yeah.
The toe bone, I feel like the guy who made the Dragon guitar would be what I would love to see what he could do with the toe bone.
Well, there's that guy who does all the guitar videos where he makes guitars out of resin and colored pencils and Top Ramen and Jawbreakers. He should do one that's like, I made a guitar out of human remains. And then he never mentions like where they came from. People are like, do we need to look into this guy? Where did he get all these human remains from?
Yeah. The train down like the abandoned train cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things like that.
It can spin into like an episode of Dexter or something. Or
Pooh Ninja told me to throw some thumbs up. So I did.
Oh, there you go. He's talking to the YouTube people, not to us, Steve. Yeah.
There's all the comments.
Yeah, there's all the comments. Everyone say hi to Dave in the comments. So anyways, I was getting to say before Steve interrupted me with money making things, which I appreciate too. I feel like you and us have been like two ships passing in the night, and we didn't like know about each other when we should have over all these years. Like I listened to all these Maximum Fun shows. And I always hear like promos for your show, and I just never went over and like checked it out.
Well, you're not alone.
And then what happened is I have my Sweetwater rep, who's like the influencer rep over there. She sent me a clip of you doing your Guitar Center bit. I was like, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. This guy sounds like he's not just making a joke from the surface of looking at Guitar Center. He sounds like he's actually been in one. So then I go and look up all your stuff and like, okay, this dude knows guitar stuff. Then I start listening to your podcast and now I'm hooked.
Oh, and thank you.
It's I'll say for everyone listening right now, go subscribe to it's the Dave Good Time Hour is what it's called now, right?
Yeah, Dave Hill Good Time Hour. Yep.
You've changed the name a few times.
Dave Hill Good Time Hour. Yeah, we've changed the name roughly 7 times because started as a podcast, Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, and then it was like a terrestrial radio show, the goddamn Dave Hill Show. Then. Yeah, it's a long story. Anyway, so now it's the Dave Hill Good Time Hour, just to steal something from Glenn Campbell.
There you go. But my kind of take on it, I'm probably only like a dozen episodes deep over the past couple of weeks or something like that, which is still pretty aggressive to jump into a podcast a dozen episodes deep. But it's like in these times when like there's no like social interactions we can do, it's a really nice, like relaxing, pleasant, like conversation style podcast. And I've really been appreciating that. Like I feel like I'm in the room, like hanging out with friends who are having a conversation. Like I really like the mood of it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. That's kind of what we're going for better or for worse.
Sure.
It'd probably be better if we were like talked specifically about, you know, murders or guitars or something.
I mean, have you ever thought about having people call into the show? Because I know you do a call-in segment, too.
It's very rough, like, because, yeah, like, I'm sorry.
You can have
You've got people, a slick show. Don't down your show. Well, you've got a slick production over
I was
there.
Just
very
thinking,
slick. Very
maybe
slick.
People could call in, and then they could be like, Dave, we have this problem, and then you could help them make a decision, kind of pass some kind of judgment onto them.
Yeah.
Steve, that's a different Maximum Fun show. We're not even on that network, and you're promoting other shows on that network.
Yeah, no, it does sound like something. What
sounds
other shows
too judgy to me, honestly.
What's that?
It sounds too judgy to me.
It is like it's sort of a bit like Judge John Hodgman.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm being an ass.
Yeah, Steve's being an asshole.
What is Steve drinking? Also the Templeton Rye.
Yeah,
we're sharing the bottle.
I got a I bought some of that Crown Royal Black on your recommendation.
I went through that quick. That stuff was pretty good.
And it's weird. I'm lying to myself when I say this, but I feel like it does not cause hangovers that are quite as bad as other hangovers. Which is
I don't usually get hangovers, but I'll say that I definitely didn't get hangovers from it.
Oh, I'm jealous. I used to not get them, and then now that's all I get.
I get hangovers from, like, if I eat, like, a bunch of crazy food one day, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'll get, like a Thanksgiving hangover or, like, a Christmas hangover. It's like, man, I just ate cinnamon rolls all day yesterday, and now I feel like trash, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's kind of I get like ice cream hangovers where, I'm just like, my body's just like, oh, that sugar.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sugar. For sure.
That's no one needed to know that.
Yeah. Everyone's riveted. Everyone loves that sort of
stuff. Riveted. They're like, what? Just get this guy to say anything. It's
just- you know what it's like once you have a podcast audience established, and everyone in the comments will agree, they really don't care about the original premise of the show. They want to hang out with their friends. They want to listen to them talk about literally anything. Like we'll do shows every now and then and like, oh, new Star Trek movie's out. We're going to talk about the Star Trek movie or something.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you speculate on what, you know, would Spock have been single coil or double
right.
Or like humbucker? I don't know why I was calling humbuckers double coils. This is because It's later where I am, and I now keep like grandpa hours.
Right.
So the pandemic has made me like not being good at staying up and saying sentences late past 8:30.
What time do you usually go to bed?
During the pandemic, I could go to bed at 8:30, but normally in life, midnight in normal times.
Well, I imagine the life of a comedian in it's like usually you'd be like Dave Attell out there at 3 o'clock in the morning in a sewage treatment plant or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be more like that. Like now I have a girlfriend and a dog, and they kind of keep me a little more, cause I realize that they don't, no matter what I've done the night before, they're up at the same time.
Hmm.
Mostly the dog. My girlfriend can, but the dog doesn't care that were up all night drinking Crown Royal. They're just like, it's now time for me to piss and shit all over the place. Let's go.
Yeah, time to walk. Get me out. Steve and I have human children. We have kids.
Oh, wow.
They behave similarly.
My experience is like, I get them in bed and then I stay up, not because I'm not tired, but because it's like my short window of time during a day to sit in silence and have complete thoughts and things like that. So I'll still end up being like a night owl, even though they're going to wake me up again at all hours of the night.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of nice late at night, even when you're tired. Yeah. To just be like, this is my time.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's like. Oh, this is my time, and I'm going to waste it by just couch potatoing.
And then you go, this is a good question for you guys, or something I'm curious. Do you ever struggle with the idea or the potential reality, which may not be the case, where you maybe look at gear more than you actually play? Like sometimes I'm like, how much did I play the guitar today versus how much time did I spend looking at guitars on the internet?
There's people who make that argument on the internet all the time. Like, oh, if you didn't spend so much time buying stuff or shopping for stuff, then you could go practice and you could, be so much better. It's like, I'm not window shopping and looking at gear all day instead of practicing.
Right.
I'm doing it and I'm playing the same amount I normally would. Like if I stop shopping for gear, I'm not going to go practice. I'm probably going to go do something else that wastes my time,
Yeah, yeah, totally. I have a friend. I have a friend who he's like, I think of it as if you're a writer, but then you also were really into pens.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I think they're two totally separate things. Like a writer that's like, I'm just fascinated by like pens of different eras. That's two totally different things.
Someone who's got like a writing podcast, like they're an author, and you look behind them and it's just like typewriters. it's more about like, oh, what are you using? What are you using to write these days? Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I've got this model. The new model's coming out. Oh man. It's amazing.
You also think about it and it's like, I'm getting so serious.
Oh my gosh.
But like, what do people want that ratio to be?
Yeah.
And
who are these people?
Yeah. I mean, I probably spent, last year, like 60, 70 hours on doing this show, maybe more in the entire year, like maybe, 100 hours.
That's because he doesn't edit it.
Shut up. but my point is only like, you spend all that time doing like podcasting and talking about gear and whatever. But I probably spent a good, 100 hours playing guitar as well. So, but that, that just doesn't, I guess maybe that's not balanced. I don't know. Like, should I be playing twice? Most of the time I spend talking about guitar, I'm at work. So I'm getting paid to like I'm getting paid to hang out in Facebook guitar groups.
Hold on. We just got
my boss got
a super chat in dollary dues. It's from Australia. It's 2:28 PM here in Adelaide. Did I say that right? Adelaide,
Australia. Yeah. I feel like that was convincing.
Adelaide, Australia. I did it, guys.
Yeah.
It is 85 degrees, sunny day. Of course it is.
Well, it's the summer there.
Yeah.
Why is he acting like?
I know, right? He's just bragging. I mean, I'm in San Diego. It's nice here. It's not 85.
It was like 85 degrees last week here.
So anyways, question. Would you consider old USSR era electric guitars? Yes, I would consider them. I've played a few. There's been a few that I've encountered at, NAMM and pawn shops and stuff like that. I've never been like, oh, I've got to own one of these, though.
Now, do you think he's saying, would you consider old USSR era guitars from the USSR? Because I own a USSR era electric guitar. It's just made in Japan.
Oh. Okay, so you're saying he has a Cold War era guitar. And it wasn't made in...
I understand the question.
This is a brand it starts with like a J or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're pretty cheap. They can be from like $250 to like $1,400.
Yeah.
I would say yes, but not as your only guitar. That's like your 10th guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always heard that a lot of those, the Eastern European like 60s and 70s are all like very, very cool designs. And they're like barely playable.
Yeah.
They're like barely qualify as usable musical instruments. A lot of them.
Reverb. I'm wearing the shirt right now. Reverb at their NAMM booth last winter, a full year ago, they had a bunch of like really old funky guitars hanging up. They had that, aluminum acoustic Russian guitar. And that thing, I mean, it's a novel concept to have like an aluminum bodied guitar. But the neck on it, it was just like the worst cheese grater you've ever experienced in your life. The one that I thought was really cool is they had a Dutch guitar from the 60s. And it had this like pick guard that was floating over the body. And the pickups were actually integrated, like hard baked into the pick guard as one piece.
But
the pick guard material was basically made out of like milk jug plastic. And it was cracking and falling apart everywhere. I was like, this is really fun, but it's also like, I wouldn't be able to play this for more than a day without completely ruining it.
Big Ear Pedal says the Soviet brand is Jolana.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
And someone else mentioned Sovtek. Yeah, Sovtek. Yeah. I still have some Sov. I have a couple Sovtek pedals, like the original ones that go for a bunch now. But, the really good one that goes for, it's not like I would sell it anyway, but just bragging.
Yeah.
do you have a lot of pedals? Do you dive into that world?
I have a ton of pedals. I don't know how many pedals I have, maybe 70, 60. I don't know.
You got plenty.
That's enough.
I'm guessing. I don't know. I have a fair amount of pedals.
You've had various projects over the years, as far as I can tell, various bands and various musical things that you've done. When you put together like a pedal board or like a rig, like what are the immediate go-tos? Like what's a pedal that you've always got to have, or a couple pedals you've always got to have?
I'm pretty lazy because every band that I'm in, two of them I'm the lead singer, and then Witch Taint I sing quite enough that it makes it hard to use a lot of pedals. But I always like the Earthquaker Devices Dispatch Masters. Great. It's like, you know, only four knobs, which is key for a beautiful young man is not that smart. I anything with more than four knobs, I start to struggle.
Right.
So that, but that's great. I use the Hoof Reaper, which is like three pedals in one from Earthquaker. I use that quite a bit. I use the Zvex Super Duper 2-in-1, which is, it's like two super hard-ons.
Yeah.
And then
that sounds painful.
It's a Klingon.
Yeah. That's usually around. And then I really like Paul Gilbert Ibanez flanger that they made, because it's a great flanger, but then there's two buttons on it. What is it called? The switch or whatever?
Yeah.
You'd think I would know, being one of the greats. But right. Whatever the thing you step on is, one of them is, it just goes, it's like a loop that goes like, and like, it's like constantly looping around, and you can change the rate. And it's, I think Paul Gilbert explained that he liked it like in place of having a, you know, like a Floyd Rose or something. Mm. And so I use it for that all the time. Just like, if you just want to like finish a solo and go like, boop, and then you turn it off. But the problem is live, because I'm like, you're finishing the solo and then you turning off your boost or whatever, the Hoof Reaper or whatever. And so then you're like, oh shit, I forgot to turn off the thing that's going. So if you see any of my bands live and that's on the board, at some point during the show, there'll be a solo and then I'll start singing again. And then underneath the singing is the thing going poo until I remember to turn it off.
Oh man.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, honestly. I'm always doing like delay time racking stuff, like diming out the feedback and then racking the time up and down. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sometimes that gets away from me. Like I turn on, and it's just been sitting there just doing its thing for an hour, and I turn it on and it's just this wall of just high-pitched noise all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's hard. It's just too much. Like today I'm in New York and I rode a bike. So I had my helmet. I had my hat that I would wear when I wasn't wearing the helmet. And then it was cold, so I couldn't find gloves, but I found these mittens. I have no idea where they came from. And I have the mittens. And then I have my phone, which I'm listening to directions of where to ride. I know my way around New York, but I don't know how to ride a bike and not get killed around New York. So I had to listen for directions to tell me like what street I should be going on to not die. And between the mittens, the hat, the helmet, the headphones, it was too much. So I'm just saying, apply that to a pedal board.
Right.
And we're going to get these sort of mistakes.
Exactly. Ungapacha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But what?
You don't know that word?
No.
Oh, someone's Earthquake Devices new ambient reverb pedal. I have that.
I've got one on the way.
The Astral Destiny?
Yeah, yeah.
I have it. It's right over there.
Were you the leak?
No. Oh,
yeah, it leaked like on Monday.
Whoops.
No, I'm a professional. I would not have leaked the pedal. Even though, I don't know if I can say this. I've had it for a while.
Say it.
I don't know if I could say that I'm one of the elite people that have had it for a while.
That's cool.
On planet Earth. It's basically me, Yngwie Malmsteen, and Tom York from Radiohead. We're the only three people that had it.
You're the beta tester.
And
you get the phone and you get Tom on the phone. You're like, what do you guys think of the reverb? And you like spitball it and figure out what needs to be fixed on it, right?
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think they had figured it out before it was ready to go by the time I get it.
Jamie, does the box have to be red? Can we pick a different color?
But I have a friend that I brought a pedal that was not unleashed on the public yet, and I had it in the studio, and he was like, oh, I'm going to post some cool photos from the studio. And he put a photo of the pedal on Instagram, and like within a second, they were like, you got to take that down immediately. No one knows that pedal exists.
Right.
And then he felt all bad. And I was like, yeah, you idiot.
These things idiot. Get all the time. They get leaked. I think almost intentionally, like brands let them leak to like,
whoa, not on my watch. I'm not a pedal leaker.
I'm going to do a partial leak right now. A dribble is what I'm going to call it. So everyone knows that this came out this week.
What is that?
It's the new Walrus Audio Reverb. They don't know that this is coming out tomorrow. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's coming out
tomorrow. I know what that is. That's the X1000.
Oh, who told you about the X1000?
We're not supposed to talk about the X1000.
I just got off the phone with JHS.
Yeah. Guy. Yeah, JHS. JAYHS.
J Huss.
Janard Hewlard Simpson.
Skeener.
Yeah. Skeener.
Wait, I had a really good pedal insight. I can't remember what it was. Now it's gonna kill me.
We have a pedal ad that we could take a peek at.
I love a nice pedal ad.
Pedal ad to break
where
up.
You go? Oh, this pedal.
Let me bring it up here.
We're going this way.
Yeah, this one was sent to us by MJ Brion.
He was in the chat earlier and then he left.
Well, he unsubscribed. That's what he always threatens to do. This is a vintage tremolo pedal. I think I knew that these existed, but I didn't know that they were so old and how they worked. It's honestly fascinating. This isn't like the Dragon zipper guitar, where it's like, wow, this is a one-off unique thing that's incredible. Now it's changed our lives. This is like a museum piece.
It looks it looks like something from like a secretarial pool.
Yeah.
In the 50s. Like, or like a legal, a stenographer would use.
I love this close-up photo of it. I don't know if you can see it through all the pixels, but this like Tolex pattern on here.
Yeah.
Is a trip. It looks like a billion tiny, like microscopic worms, like carved patterns in wood or something.
Oh, yeah.
And those vintage knobs. It's just a treat to look at this thing. But then on the guts, it's wild. It's technically a tremolo pedal. And the way that it functions is that there's this little metal canister here with fluid in it, and a mechanical motor rocks that canister back and forth, and as the fluid splashes around inside of there, it splashes over a connection to short out the signal, and that's how it produces a tremolo sound. Steve and I watched like all these videos on it.
If you go on YouTube and just look up D-Arm and tremolo, there's a guy who bought one of these, and it has like close up video of like the motor and everything in action. And in the top left of this picture, there's like that rubber wheel, and that rubber wheel is actually, that's what controls your rate.
Well, that wheel, you see how it's like
physical control.
You see how it's connected to this metal spindle, and the spindle gets wider as it gets closer to the motor. That spindle that big rubber wheel gets pushed further along that spindle, and because it changes size, that changes the speed of the effect. Like, it's just completely like caveman, like steampunk way of producing a tremolo effect, and it's bonkers. It's honestly bonkers. And it's from like the 40s or something.
It's totes bonkers.
Totes bonkers.
Have you seen those? There was a guy, actually, I saw this at NAMM, an English guy. I think they're called like Ranger FX pedals.
Oh, yeah.
And they have like with a guy, I thought I was being punked, as they used to say, because he would be like, yeah, this, you put whatever you want in it and it will change the way the pedal sounds. It's like a little thing you dump, like water or like Jack Daniels, whatever you want, and it'll change the pedal. And
like whatever, like electronic resistance, whatever fluid you put in there affects the tone of it. This is kind of that way, I guess.
The best worst thing I feel like about the Ranger, it's called the mini bar. That pedal's called the mini bar. Is half the people thought it was a joke, and the other half the people were like, I'm gonna buy one of those, I'm gonna come in it.
Yeah.
Oh jeez.
That was
you know, I'm not saying like I'm better than anybody.
Right, right.
But I feel like the fact that that never crossed my mind gives me hope for my future.
Yeah, you're not doing as bad as other people are doing, who see a pedal and the first thing they think is, I'm gonna fuck it.
I should come. Yeah. I'm gonna put my dick in that.
Yeah, I can't wait to. I finally what I want from a pedal.
I feel like when like fluids are, you know, when it's open season on fluids, cum is like, that's not even the first 10 fluids I'm thinking of.
Mm. Okay, list them.
Okay.
Top 10 fluids.
Witch hazel.
Mm.
Pepto-Bismol.
Mm.
Oat milk. Single malt scotch.
Mm.
Mountain Dew. And then there's other ones. And then
right after Mountain Dew is cum. Yeah, cum. Yeah.
Everyone's a slippery slope after Mountain Dew.
Yeah, yeah. Then you're just
going straight. Yeah. Everyone sees it coming. No pun intended.
Oh, shoot. He said Mountain Dew. Here comes cum. It's
yeah.
Old story every single time.
It's here coming down the pike.
That's a very specific fetish right there.
Mountain Dew, more like Mountain Did.
Oh my gosh. Where's my button for that? No.
Oh, nice.
Got a little soundboard here. By the way, I don't know if anyone's been watching it. Disney Channel has the new Marvel show, WandaVision. And the end shot of it from the first episode has the thing that we use in it. The
what? Wait, I think I unplugged myself. Wait, why can I not hear? Wait, you muted yourself. What's happening?
Okay, we're back.
Ryan wanted to talk. So
I wanted to show that we used the device that was in this show. We used the Rodecaster. I picked it up and the power cable pulled out.
at the end of Disney Marvel's WandaVision, they pull out of this TV to reveal that it's it's supposed to be telling you.
I'm falling for it again.
You do this thing. What are you doing?
I checked it. The power, it was hanging out halfway, and then it went off again. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Is this working?
It's working now. We're back.
So you pull the camera pulls out, and it shows a bunch of technological gizmos. You know, there's some 80s rack mounts, graphic EQs, all this stuff that looks very sci-fi, like sci-fi tech. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is the Rode Rodecaster, which is their podcasting interface.
Right.
And we saw it. And as soon as Ryan saw it, he paused his television.
And took a photo.
Took a photo and posted it.
This story was not worth sabotaging the podcast.
Twice.
No, I think it was worth it.
Yeah. It's a slick show over here, Dave. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. From one to another, respect.
let's do the last ad, and then we'll do our closing thoughts, and you can go to bed because I know it's very late there. We've got this is a local ad. I found this. It is for an acoustic control bass amp. Well, I guess I don't have the shot that has the info. Steve has it for some reason.
Legendary bass amp cabinet rig Zeppelin, Zappa, Santana, Jaco, made for a huge sound, and it delivers. Aside from the very 60s paint on the front panel, which I personally dig, but that's just me. Everything is in superb shape. Electronics, but whatever. It's in great shape. This is actually in really great shape.
It is.
Except the classic acoustic baby blue across the middle of this cabinet is now painted with a very 60s, 70s Jesus movement. Praise God. A question that we like to ask on the show a lot is, will it church?
This amp will church.
I think this amp will church.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the acoustic amps have become go-to amps for a lot of like the Doom players and like big like fuzz noise guys that just want to have huge stacks.
Yeah.
I kind of want to get this and just start a Doom project and leave the paint and just rip like Doom riffs through like six fuzz pedals and have the Praise God graphic just vibrating and shaking the audience.
I don't know if someone big enough to pick this up.
No, I don't think I would be able to get this into either of my cars.
You have to borrow one of your brother's work trucks.
Steve and I are both acoustic control fans. We own a pair of them together.
you're already ready to have the band.
Yeah, well, we've got the heads. We don't have the cab, and this cab is really the thing. I mean, it's
local to you?
Yeah, and it's local to me, but I don't have a vehicle that could ever pick this up. Like, this is ridiculous.
Well, you need to get your shit together.
I know. Yeah. I know.
These are 2x15, and if I remember right, they're actually like an angled 15. So it's all like this crazy, you know, W flex wedge thing. I've heard people say that these amps, like within the, like you're, so if you're standing in front of it, right? Like you're playing your show or whatever, the mythos, the story is that within like the first 6 feet in front of this amp, it's actually not that loud.
Right.
Because
it's all like canceling out or like crossing
because
over.
Because like the sound wave that this puts out is like just such a long throw that for the first 6 feet, it stays pretty quiet, and then once you get past that, it just gets like giant, huge wall of sound. I mean, this is it mentions it in the ad, and it's dead on. Like, this is the John Paul Jones, the Zeppelin, the bass Zeppelin bass. Well, not this exact one, I'm sure.
Now they want $1,500 for this. The heads that we have, I feel, well, we stole one of them from our church.
Yeah.
Other one I think you bought.
Yeah.
Do you think this is worth $1,500 for this stack?
This is the 370, 360. This is the 360 stack. These are, I think $1,500 is actually a pretty fair price for these.
Well, it's been graffitied by some sort of hoodlum.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say $1,000. And then if it's the owner that painted Praise God on and say, hey, brother in Christ, could you deliver it as well?
There you go.
Yeah. I want to have this connected to my doorbell. And like when someone comes and drops off like a FedEx package, like it's sitting right next to the door and it's just turned all the way up all the time.
This is also on Reverb, and they want $1,500 to ship, or $500 to ship.
Well, that kind of makes sense. I mean, it costs like $70 to ship a guitar. This thing is humongous. Like, you might as well pack it full of other things you want to ship.
Yeah, you'd have to send it on like a freight, like a boat. Like, there, it comes with like a guy smoking a pipe and stuff when it gets to your house.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, you do not ship this. Like, when you move across country, you like make the decision whether or not you're going to bring it with you, because you have to have like a separate U-Haul truck just for this.
I think $1,500 might be on the high end, but there's another person on Reverb trying to sell one for like $3,500.
Oh,
local.
Yeah,
is that mostly for the cab, or like the are the heads a contributing factor to that price?
So the,
because in my head, in my mind, like our heads that we own, the acoustic control heads we own, are worth like $250.
Yeah, yeah. But they're not this. And so the thing with this too, since I guess we're getting into this, the amp is in the cabinet. The head is just a preamp.
Oh.
So the, oh. So they're this original design. I mean, you can use the head, you know, if you want to use the head without the cabinet, you'd have to get a power amp.
Now I see. That is wild.
So, yeah, you actually plug that in there. And supposedly, like, that's the tone secret, because they do make a version of this, the 370, 371, that is the 370 head is a standard bass head. Then the cabinet is a passive cab. And people still swear by the 360, 361 combo as like, that's the magic sauce right there. It's something about, you know, the amp, this particular amp that's in this cabinet. So somebody says weird to have a preamp head tubes in the cab. There's no tubes here, man. This is all solid
state. Yeah, solid state, vintage solid state.
I have an idea. This is how you get it. Write the guy. Is this on Craigslist?
Yeah.
Be like, hey, listen, start, this is you, word for word, say, hey, man, I really feel for you. I'd be happy to take this off your hands for you if you can get it over here. I'll give you $1,000, but I'm doing you a favor. Yeah. You're slowly wearing him down, making him think like.
Just like neg him?
Yeah, just totally to where he's like, oh, man, yeah, this guy's helping me out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Finally, someone is paying me attention, and I'm ready to commit to them.
The real problem with these is they're so like here and there to pop up for sale that the price on it's just it's kind of a crapshoot. I feel like you could probably offer this guy $1,000 and make it happen.
Yeah, he's probably not going to get an offer for $1,000.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Were you here 1 minute ago when I already said that?
Dave, I'm agreeing. Come on.
I felt like you were presenting it as your own original price point. And now, guys,
hear me out. Hear me out. I've got this idea.
Oh my gosh.
What I'm saying is you call this guy up and you say, hey man, I like this amp you've got, but I'm thinking if you can drive it down to me, I'll give you $1,000.
Steve, did you just have that idea?
I'm giving you a good deal.
Yeah.
Good idea.
What do you guys Steve. Think? What do you guys think?
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty good. I like the idea of buying it and forming a band that is sound is dictated by owning the amp.
Well, it's just this plus the Dragon guitar, and you got yourself a band cooking.
I mean,
you got yourself a stew.
Yeah. I think that and then the tremolo pedal, I would like to see the three of them together.
It's a full rig. This is
And then you just come on all of it.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying. I mean, that's how all this ends up, right?
Yeah, there's traces. There's going to be traces of cum on all of this stuff.
Already.
Right.
Let's be clear. There's the forensic detectives have been in, and there's jizz on all this stuff.
And then the detective will be like, well, yeah, it's, you know, have you seen this stuff? Of course there's jizz all over it.
Yeah.
There's a dragon coming out of this guitar. I would be surprised if it wasn't fully just constantly wet with jizz. Like,
yeah. I can't reach climax without,
right. Unzipping a dragon on a guitar.
I mean, this cabinet is basically a bed.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, it's at least the size of a twin size bed.
We had a friend years back who was in a band, and he shared a tiny little apartment with a bunch of friends, and he had this Marshall half stack. And so when he would get home from gigs, he would wheel in the Marshall half stack. He would lay it on its back and put a piece of sheet glass over it. And that was their coffee table because there was nowhere else to put it.
I have actually had that thought. I have a 70s, I have an orange half stack, not to brag. The head is not
over here. Orange half stack. Okay. All
What's
right.
that?
You're just big brag.
I know. But I have the cabinet is set a 70s cabinet. And it's in like a rehearsal space. It's been in this rehearsal space for like 10 years up the street. Only because I can't figure out where to put it. And I've thought I should just make it a coffee table.
Mm.
But then I think, like, what a horrible thing to do to my girlfriend.
You know, my because I've got all these guitars out here in the garage, my wife is always like, you know, you could, if you want to make room, you could like decorate the house with them a little bit and like have them hang a couple in the living room, hang a couple in the staircase or whatever. I'm like, do not encourage this. This
no,
is
it like, doesn't.
Don't bring this into the house.
Guitars. Yeah. Guitars. As much as I love guitars, they should not be mixed in like it. It's like next thing you know, it's going to be wing night every night. And it looks like a bar or something.
If you right, have right. Like
a bunch of guitarists hanging around, like, yeah, they're exactly where they should be.
Like one is fine. Like have an acoustic somewhere or something, right. Like have one that's interesting looking, but like when you start making it into storage in the common areas of the house, then it's like,
yeah.
Take over.
And you're know? Like, hey, babe, I might want to rip a solo.
I'm going to set up my pedal board down here in the middle of the living room. No big deal.
It's just going to be a mini board. It's just going to be a mini board.
And then there's cables laying all over the place and stuff. And
no, yeah. It's you can have one. I think what you said, one guitar in like the common areas, and then the rest have to be. And yeah. your own problem in the garage.
It's just there so that people can ask about it. Like, oh, you play guitar? And then you're like, let me show you my pleasure room.
Yeah, yeah. Hey,
the real
that's
stuff.
That's a meme, Ryan. You stole that from a meme.
What stole it from a movie.
Yeah, let me take you out back while the women folk finish right. up.
With their synthesizers, because they're musicians too.
Yeah.
And your wife takes everyone back to her synthesizer room.
Yeah.
Like, oh, synthesizers are for girls. Come out and check out the guitar room with the guys.
Yeah. Sick.
Yeah.
Only 30% of your guy friends will know what they are, though.
Yeah. Oh, my wife's feeling really moogie right now. That's a synthesizer joke. Get it? Moogie.
That's strong.
That's a strong a joke. You can feel free to steal that day for your act.
I might.
just whisper writing credit Ryan Burke right after you do it in the act.
I'm happy to. Yeah. Always big on attribution.
So we should wrap this up. We've gone over, and I know you need to go to bed.
I could die.
I know. Well, you've been going to bed at 8:30, and it must be like 11:30 now. Like. You must be psychedelic right now.
Oh, it's wild.
Yeah, yeah. The walls are melting. But everyone should go check out your stuff. You've got your podcast, the Dave Hill Hour. I've been tuning in for that most weeks when I can.
You've been on it.
I have. You do like the live hangout thing at the end, and it was my first time watching it. I was like, oh, I'll check out his podcast. And you're like, hey. Everyone join on if you want. I was like, what? He does that too? Okay, I'll do it. So, like, first episode, I'm in there like, oh, hey. So everyone go watch the podcast, subscribe to that. Go check
Thank
out
you.
Bands. You've got two that I know of. I know you probably have way more than that.
Just three.
Still, that's plenty.
So there's what? There's Valley Forge.
Lodge.
Valley Lodge. That's a common mistake, Valley Forge. Valley Lodge, Painted with Doll.
Oh, Painted Doll. That's the other one.
Yeah, Painted Doll is my band with Chris Reifert from Autopsy, the death metal band. But we're like more of a psych rock band, Painted Doll. And then Witch Taint, of course.
Witch Taint is...
Which is black metal.
Hilarious.
Yes.
Not to be confused with death metal.
Well, I don't want
to... No, it couldn't be more death.
No, it's not death metal at all, Steve. Come on. No, Witch Taint is hilarious. Everyone go watch that. We're going to play a song at the end. Can we play a Witch Taint song at the end of the episode? Are you fine with that?
Dave? Oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
that'll demonetize.
Yeah, yeah.
So all the money will go to you, all like $1.
A buck and a half. You'll get it through CD Baby eventually.
Yes.
I want to play Are You Ready for Love? Is that the name of it?
I don't know. You tell me.
Are you ready to black metal? Or are you ready for love?
Ready for Love. That's the one I want to play. Because I love that song.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
And then Valley Lodge, I've listened to a couple songs, and I just want to say I love it. Like, that's the type of music I would have discovered that, you know, at a record store and bought it for the album art in my college years and like just left it in and driven around all day listening to it and be like, oh yeah, this is like my new favorite band now. Like, I love that whole like kind of like late 90s, early 2000s, like power pop sort of edge that you've got going on there. Like, it's in my wheelhouse. I really like it. So everyone go check it out.
That thank you.
Yeah. Like I said, I feel like we've been two ships passing in the night. And now that I know about you, I've been diving into your stuff for like weeks. Like, I got to know more about this date.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad we're making it happen now.
We're
making up for lost time.
This is the beginning. We're going to be dear friends from now on. We might not ever speak again.
I feel good. Post plague. I'm going to be in that garage one day, just ripping solos.
I love it. Yeah. This is it, guys. This is the beginning of the rest of our life. This is how it starts. This is the beginning of how it starts meme. So anyways, huge thanks for agreeing to be on the show, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And stay tuned for this song. You're going to love it. Bye, everybody. Stay grounded.
See ya.
Question.